Jack and Jill here.
Oh my goodness, hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show. Entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how debt is bad, but equity is good.
I had to try to trip you up there. It's just too fun. So I'm going to...
That goes against every single radio, audio situation. Tripping your co-host up. I'm all for it because it goes against everything.
That's what I'm saying. When have you known me to go with a flow and just be a sheep? You know?
Exactly.
Again, boy, my parents wish I would go with a flow and be a sheep, but no. Jill has to do it her own way.
Well, if debt is bad and equity is good, then how the hell can you ever get anything done if you don't have any money?
Yeah, what do you drive around in? I don't understand.
That's the answer. You will get the answer.
It's not possible, is it?
You will get the answer to that question, Mr. Bender, next Saturday.
Oh, thank you.
Breakfast Club.
Got it.
Before we get into this topic, please we're going to take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Julian R. asks, hi, I wanted to know if you also experience, I love this first sentence. I wanted to know if you also experience frustration with title companies. Can we just stop there?
Like, we could do a whole podcast on that topic.
I could stop there, but this is a good question. I'm going to read the whole thing here. I have lost my second deal today because the seller backed out on deals more than $5,000. Kids wanted to keep the land in the family, even though it has not been used in years. It seems like the solutions/options are, one, keep losing deals. That's just part of the business.
That's not.
Since the seller was not really motivated in the first place.
No, that's not one.
Two, close with a notary first, then get title, but it kind of defeats the purpose.
That is a fantastic solution.
Three, find a much faster company to close with using such as TitleMine when it is ready, over 3 weeks in both cases.
Okay, that long took. You can't pay for publicity like that.
Right? Would love to hear your experience with this kind of issue.
Can I start with a story?
Sure.
I drove to Flagstaff and stayed for 2 days training. This is a lot of years ago. Training a First American Title group of people in an office up there, and they were experienced because it's a small town. They were just ready to have 30 to 80 more deals a month. They were staffed up for it and ready, and it was it seemed like a perfect fit. So I went up there and spent a whole weekend training them on our specific way of doing things, which is we send these mailers out. They're going to call you back. What I didn't train them on is how low the prices were. You know, we were back then, we were buying property, nice property for $500 a property and selling them online. But we needed, it was nice property, so it needed title insurance. And my concept was, if I can outsource this, just, you know, and get them to pay for title insurance policy and have them close the deal, then I don't have to hire anybody. They just close all my deals.
Got it.
Well, that backfired like nobody's business.
Why?
Because Sally Smith's seller would receive a letter and say, heck yeah, I want to sell this property. She would call, it said right in the letter, call Janet at First American Title and here's a number. So she did. Mm-hmm. And Janet at First American Title said, okay, I'm happy to close your deal. So the purchase price is $500? Oh yeah, the purchase price is $500. And then she would talk her out of the deal.
Oh no. Seriously?
That's what's happening here.
Yeah,
I'll tell
understand.
You right now. Because title agents, Jill, you know this.
I do.
Title agents are empowered. After like 5 or 6 deals, they start, they know that they're the gatekeeper to getting this deal done.
Yep.
Especially with no lender or no real estate agent to talk back to them.
Exactly. That they have to answer to. You're correct.
So it becomes, that's why one of the reasons we started TitleMine, so that there's one place to call, one central location and one agent that you deal with that makes sure this doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very, Julian, aware of this problem. We've been on the other end of it. Most of my career, I've been on the other end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So my first reaction is your number two solution.
Mm-hmm.
You get on the phone with the seller and you say, yeah, I'd be happy to buy a property for $5,000. Good. You want to sell it? The notary will be there tomorrow. Right. And you close the deal.
You know, my other suggestion?
You own the property, then you go get title insurance.
Right.
Real quickly, I'm going to finish this thought.
Sorry.
you run the risk of there is really actually title problems, and it's if they're so fatal that it kills a deal, you might run the risk of losing that money or not having marketable title. But the way that we teach it, Jill, we're all in there checking to make sure that, you know, they're we're in title. You have access to the tools as a member to do 98% of what a title insurance, title agent or plant, title plant person will do. Mm-hmm. So your number two solution is great. Close it first, then do it. Get title. Go ahead.
Oh, pick me. All right, you know what? My other thought is, because I'm with Julian. Let's just say Julian, it's new early days. He's not comfortable. Doesn't have a bank balance of $300,000 just sitting there. So writing a check for $8,500, hoping it's going to go, it's a good deal, is not his thing. I would right now go with number one and number three, honestly, which is number one, don't keep losing the deals because you're going to babysit the deals. I hate to say it, but that's what I've had to personally do. I've had to bug the title agent. I literally, like on a daily basis, would check in with the seller and check in with the title agent. Basically, I'm doing the title agent's job. But you know what? I want it to go through that bad. I'm willing to do it. It stinks, but that's what you got to do sometimes. So that's it. And then number three is, man, we're working title. We opened up Title Mine. We got so busy because we were doing our deals along with our members' deals, and we just got overwhelmed with the response, which is clearly, we all know why, because of this question. So I had to shut it down. So I'm working on bringing it back and staffing up and making some changes to the product. So we have, you know, anyway, making it smooth for you so we can do it for you, and we can basically, we'll babysit those deals for you, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I still want it, the other, and the main thing too, at the very, 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 very beginning of this though, I would have appreciated, you want to make sure everybody really does want to sell, you know, you want to kind of, yeah, I sat out to, you know.
My gut reaction when you started reading the question was, if they're backing out of the deal, maybe they didn't want to sell anyway.
Right. That might have been a wrong one. So, you know, it's like, for example, you know, I'll give you a Land Academy example about us and our whole business. When we were new and starting out and people were finding us and they were saying they want to be investors, well, now and then I'd get people that I just kind of like, okay, wait a minute. I don't want to set someone up to fail. I want to make sure that they're in this for the right reasons. They can afford to do this. I love their ambition, but I want to check all the boxes. And one of the questions I would ask them is your wife on board? Is your husband on board? You know, is everybody on the same page? Because let's be honest, folks, you know, no matter what hobby or business or whatever, you know, even new car you want to go buy, you know, you bring it home and your wife's not, or your husband or your partner is on the same page, is not going to go well.
Oh, don't go home with a new car and not tell your spouse.
Right?
Ever do that.
Unless it's me, because you've done that and it's okay.
But I pay cash for it.
I know. It's totally
don't
okay.
Don't come home with new debt of
right.
any kind.
Right.
Is what I mean.
So you want to make sure they're
That's
on board.
That's what this show is about.
Debt is it? Oh, yeah, I guess it is, huh? Okay, so we'll lead into this. But so this would be something that, you know, I would hopefully try to smoke out in the earlier phone calls that this family has confirmed that nobody wants the property. It's you're buying it, or it's nothing.
You know, you can tell. I can tell.
But you, it takes experience to figure that out.
I looked at three deals this morning that for whatever reason they were not out of my regular. They were out of the regular system for me to review deals, and the person that was doing the deal on our staff wanted to get them done. They're pretty excited about them. Mm-hmm. In all three situations, I green-lighted because, not because of the actual real estate itself, but because the sellers don't care.
Right. It's like, these are the kids.
Yeah.
And they've already inherited. They've had it for 5 years. They still don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And they could care less.
And they said, just name the price and let us know what to do.
Yeah. I just don't want to just get rid of it.
And so we're giving them a fair price, and they're just available to sign.
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that I love those calls, and they're out there. I get them all the time. They're like, I don't know, just name your price. I just want to get rid of it. I'm like, ding, got it.
The person that's doing this in our staff is new. She has a lot of experience doing transactions as a transaction coordinator, and she's like, her jaw's on the ground over these deals.
Oh, yeah.
Because we know what we're doing. We're finding these people that just don't want the property. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, when I started this, I couldn't believe it either. Like, who doesn't want real estate? Because I have this, I put real estate, you and I were talking about this a couple days ago. We put real estate on this level, like, like we kowtow to it, you know, like we pray to real estate. I love real estate. I just think it's a great thing. I respect it. You know,
it's,
and I think some people are just like, yeah, it's just like a car.
Yeah, it's such a safe for me asset over a safe full of gold. It's much easier to transport, for one.
Did you ever pick up a gold bar?
Not a gold one.
You need two hands.
Oh, silver. Like, we've had those, plenty of those silver. Yeah. How many ounces?
100 ounces.
Pounds? Okay, yeah.
Oh, no, 1,000 ounce.
Yeah. We had several of those flow through our hands, if you will.
There's still a lot.
Yeah. I took one time for a price for, remember we accepted a silver bar to buy our program.
Uh-huh.
Guy mailed us a bar. I'm like, sure. Okay.
That's still in the pile too, I think.
Should we get to the topic?
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
Today's topic. How debt is bad and equity is good. This is the meat of the show. So, if you don't have any dough and you want to get some stuff done in life, you know, and but you don't want to take on any debt, I can hear everybody turning their radio off. Like, how the heck can you get anything done if you don't have any money? And that's a very, very valid point. You can save money at your regular job forever.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have 25 cents left, go buy a piece of real estate. That's possible. I've actually done that. Not with 25 cents, a little bit more than that, but I've done it. Or you can put yourself in debt. You can go borrow against your house or borrow against your whatever. So that's debt. But the title of this is Debt is Bad.
Mm-hmm.
So why not find a partner and take on some equity and say, you know what? I'm really good at finding cheap property. And you're really good at having a lot of money and doing nothing,
mm-hmm.
potential partner. What do you say we get together, try a couple deals, go on a couple of dates, figurative dates, see if we like it. And if we want it, then we'll continue.
Awesome.
That's what equity really is. That's on a smaller scale. That's what an equity partner is. On a huge scale, an IPO, an initial public offering on Wall Street, you can go raise a bunch of capital by selling stock. That's really what you just did with that buddy of yours who's got a bunch of money.
Right.
You sold him some stock in your deal.
Right.
Or just you just use a different terminology for whatever reason. So,
thank you. Like 50%, whatever, we split the profits kind of thing.
Exactly.
So, okay.
I just put Jill to sleep, I think.
Well, you were on a roll. You, Jack, clearly had something to say. And I...
Jill,
I didn't want to interrupt your train of thought.
There's got to be a way
goof
we can
you up.
Send images to people.
So, of what really is going on right here?
Yeah.
Oh. That would be funny. That would be really good. All right. So, I was looking at it as something different.
Oh, good. I love this. Okay. Go ahead. What did you think?
Well, first of all, your first comment 5 minutes ago was, before that speech was...
Jill, one of the reasons that you're here on this show is to be pretty and fun and laugh and stuff. And so, because if it was just me here myself, the thing would just go right dive into the
Could
ground.
Could you imagine?
It would crash and burn and die.
we've never done that. I don't know. Have you ever done a show just you at the very beginning? Okay.
Yeah, that's why no one knows about it.
Oh. See, I never did a show of just me. I'm kind of curious what that would be like.
It would probably be fun.
Oh.
It'd probably be bigger than this show.
I don't... If we took Jack out. The Jack and Jill show without Jack. Tune in tomorrow.
Just Jill. That's what it would call.
Yeah, there we go. I like that. So anyway, 5 minutes ago when you started this talk, it was about starting your life not having any money and not taking on debt. My first point is a lot of people don't even think that that's possible. A lot of people... You think that, you have to, and how can I build up credit without using credit? I've got to get myself ahead and the world and all that good stuff. And I just hate it.
That's all conspiracy.
It is. You know, I'll tell you right now, we're sending, okay, kid number two is going to college, and I'm helping him right now get all set up and to start. And he has no credit cards. Thank you, right? He's 18. He could, but he doesn't. And I'm worried. One of my concerns is, you know, they just prey on college kids.
Absolutely.
So I'm having talks with him. Right. It's ruthless the way they camp on they sit on college campuses and hand out T-shirts to get them to sign up. And the kids walk by going, oh, cool, I like a T-shirt. And the next thing they have a credit card and they got a free T-shirt. Really? That was ridiculous.
And then if you never use a credit card, you throw it away, as you should. You get a bill.
Your annual fee,
yeah,
or whatever it is, you're in there. And I'm having talks with them too, by the way. It's a little bit off topic, but so is this whole show.
So off topic by Jack and Jill.
Yeah, about what databases you want to be in life.
Oh, that's good, Jill.
You know, he brought up something the other day. I said,
that's,
you know,
really,
this is really good.
So
I said, you know, you need to think about this beyond social media. You know, what databases do you really want to be in? Because if you go down this path and you show interest in X, now you're on that database. He's like,
The more you look up one topic in a browser, the more that the whole world is going to be skewed toward that thing.
Exactly.
So that's very, very wise parental advice. And thank you so I don't have to do stuff.
You are very welcome. I've got your six, man. I'm co-parenting as fast as I can, as good as I can. You know what I mean.
So,
but debt bad. So I look at equity as saving and doing it right. You know, every person that calls me, there's so many people that they set up calls with me to talk about getting involved and being an investor and that kind of a thing. And most of them have been listening long enough and they know, you know, let's be smart about this. But a lot of some of them, I have to remind them, be smart about this, save it up. I don't care if it takes 6 months or a year, get $5,000-$10,000 in the bank and do it right. Because let's be honest, like we've had on other shows, where else can you start anything with this little amount of money? And then two, no matter what you're doing, it's not, I just use us as an example because that's near and dear to my heart, but I don't care what you want to do. Gosh, save up and do it right. Going even to college. And I'll tell you, kid number two, we're starting him out in community college. It's a perfect fit for him.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's and
way cheaper.
It's getting out of the way. It's going to solve everything he wants to do. He's going to get an associate's and then go on. And
then getting a university degree.
Part of it is getting his grades up is the reason why. Hey, so what? He fell down a little bit.
Right.
You know, his grades aren't what they could have been. He now knows that. So we're doing it a different path. And he's looking at the bills going, you know, all right, even, you know, community college and living somewhere else, that's expensive.
Right.
So just do it right. Go slow and methodical. And then when you have some money set aside, make good decisions. You know, like we've been talking about, do your research. Don't just jump on the first bandwagon that comes along.
Right.
Make your money really work and be smart about all this and do your darndest to not have any debt, because the best way to lose sleep is having debt. I don't care what it is.
So with either vehicle, what we're talking about is raising capital in some way so that you can use it to eventually do away with it,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't want debt your whole life, and you certainly don't want to split equity on a real estate deal or anything else your whole life. You're wasting, at a certain point, you're wasting resource.
Mm-hmm.
So with both situations, you need to, at some point, if you take out a car loan, it is going to get paid off. And then hopefully you can use a car for a lot of years without a car payment. It's the same concept with real estate transactions or anything else. At some point, you're going to have so much of your own money because you utilize debt or equity that you're going to do away with both. Now, on an average deal, you're making twice as much money.
I have something to say about that. Like your car analogy. You think they're going to pay it off and drive it forever. Oh, how many people really do that? Very few. You know what they do? Well, that car payment's done. I paid it off. Now I can do another car payment. Now I want a new car.
I know.
Or some people, sadly, are lured in by the dealership where they come in and go, you know, for $50 more, we can put you in that car.
The T-shirt.
Yeah, let's just upgrade your car right now. Really? That's all it is?
Yesterday's show was about.
Yeah.
Now, don't drink the Kool-Aid, man.
Yeah. So my point about debt is, and using financing things, is you think differently. I have found that often. When you're putting a credit card down, I totally believe in this concept. It doesn't feel like it's, you know, $100 or $1,000, whatever it is. Right. There's something weird about that. Versus when you're putting your hard-earned cash out, or Apple Pay. Just kidding. But you know what I mean. But your hard-earned cash on something, you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to make a little bit different decision. And you should have that decision all the time. You should think like that.
That's a famous Warren Buffett quote. All the worst business decisions I've ever made were when I had a pocket full of money.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't... I'm when you have
access, what he means is when I have an access to too much capital any repercussion, I go start making bad decisions.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a roundabout way of saying the same thing.
Thank you. Okay, good. I understand. Did I make my point?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, good.
6 or 7 times.
You had to get me back.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another 20 minutes. Listen to the Jack and Jill show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss 30 days later, the results of a promo that Jill and I ran, the 30 days later results. It's actually relatively shocking.
Cool. And we answer your questions. Should you have one, post them on the jackjill.com online community.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Dude, did I just beat a dead horse with that? Is that what's going on here?
No.
It's okay to say it.
Yeah, sure, it's fine.
All right.
Say anything you want. It's your show.
All right. I'm here to tell you the dead horse thing is totally a DeWitt thing. And there's another DeWitt person that we all know that talks a lot. So in the media now and then. So it's totally a DeWitt thing.
You mean your little brother, the NASA rep or whatever he is?
Yeah. Is he taking that? Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
State Treasurer of Arizona, yeah. Jeff DeWitt.
But we are known to talk and
politics.
Beat dead horses. Sorry. Hey, share the fun if you like that by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Jack and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.